I'm Nicholas Penrake, and you're listening to A Trader's Life, the podcast where I get to talk to successful traders about their approach to trading, how they started out and went from broke or breaking even to pulling in thousands of dollars a week. Trading is a tough game. They say only around 5% of those who try actually make a profit. Join me for A Trader's Life to glean some valuable insights from the market wizards I get to talk to. If you can't crack it in Forex, have a go at crypto. My guest today tells me he used to trade Forex, but after a few years of making a lot of money and giving it all back, he's deep into crypto. Not so much as a trader, more as a service provider and a collector of coins. Through his company YieldNodes, Steve and his team provide a masternoding service for crypto coins. Masternoding, you might ask? Well, yes, it is a little complicated, but don't worry, Steve will explain. He'll also go on to talk about the extraordinary monthly returns you can make by placing a stake in YieldNodes. So stick around, because this conversation might be your ticket to some very welcome passive income without any of the risk of actually trading crypto. Steve, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Nicholas. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. So you're the CEO of YieldNodes, and your company provides a service known to the world as, well, in the crypto world, as masternoding. And I suspect, I can imagine most of my listeners are thinking, what the hell is masternoding? So could you give us some context and tell us in kind of made for dummies language what it is that you do?
Yes, let me try. It's kind of complicated, but it should be explainable, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of you, of the people that are not very familiar with cryptocurrencies, at least know the terminology of mining, like mining cryptos, which is in essence having a computer which is solving complex mathematical equations to find Bitcoin. This is a very straightforward process. Like to explain, you have your hardware running and it mines for coins and you get a certain amount of Bitcoin. Masternoding is what we provide, and masternoding is in essence very similar, but it's more eco-friendly, meaning it doesn't require nearly as much electricity as mining, and it's more stable in a sense that you get a set amount of coins for doing a certain task, and it's very, very accurate in that. So by masternoding, you provide a PC to the network, which is helping to process transactions on the blockchain in the cryptocurrency space. And for doing that, you are rewarded with a certain amount of coins. And this is usually a very low-powered Linux server, very simple computer. And the key in taking part in this network is that you need to lock down a certain amount of coins to get this reward. So you basically lock down, say, to make a simple example, you lock down 1,000 coins of, say, Sapphire, which is our house currency. And you get, for doing that, the server turns into a so-called masternode and is generating consistently more coins that you are being rewarded with. This is as simple. There's, of course, a little bit more to it in a technical, on several technical steps, but I think this is the most easy way to explain it. Dumped down version that I can possibly give,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It is complex, isn't it? How do you distinguish between mining and what you termed collecting coins? What's the difference?
The difference lies that, for example, Bitcoin is only mineable, and the other coins, which are so-called proof of stake coins, because you're staking something, they have a different methodology for powering the blockchain, which is in essence this differentiation that I made. Like Bitcoin is mining, other coins can be masternoded. Bitcoin is not masternodable in this sense.
Okay, so you're really working with what we might call altcoins, right?
Exactly. A different breed. Like we started masternoding and then we got deeper into the materia because we started our own coins and our own ecosystems, and we learned a lot by doing so. By going into the projects, we understood more of it and we started building an ecosystem. So it became very complex in a short time. So we ourselves are sometimes wondering where we're going to end up. You know, we're a very experimental bunch of people, so to speak.
And what do you look for in the coin itself? I mean, you said your house coin is Sapphire. Why that coin? And what do you look for in coins to make you want to invest in them?
At the beginning, when we started, we just masternoded third-party coins. Like we saw, there's a few monitors outside. One is very famous. I can easily recommend it to get an idea of how many coins are out there in the markets, which is called masternodes.online, where you see how big the market is, how many coins are in existence. And at the beginning, when we started this journey in October of 2019, we were masternoding third-party coins. And then Sapphire came onto our radar, which was our first in-house coin now, came onto our radar because it was built by a group of Canadian guys that during the panic in the crypto market sold their project, and they sold it to us. They just wanted to get out of it. They didn't believe in it anymore. It had a sound economy behind it, but it was just, it had no use case. It was purely one of those thousands of coins that are floating around on the internet. And we decided, why not go into it? Why not give it a use case? Why not make it a consumer coin with which you can transact in, can purchase vouchers, make a shop, and make our first so-called pilot project. And this is how it all started. From there on, right now we have about 12 coins in the ecosystem that we build out for different use cases. But this was the stepping stone into the decentralized economy that we have right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're quite a small company, aren't you? And as you said, you only formed a few years ago. How did you get going and how did you meet the people you're working with currently?
I was situated back then in Malta, and I met my business partner, which is the architect of the offer and the head masternoder, so to speak, who's running all the servers, all the IT work. He's a German named Urs. I met him there because I had a network of Bitcoin ATM machines. I had a few machines in the local supermarket there, and he was exchanging frequently large amounts of coins versus Bitcoin and vice versa. And so we got in touch over email. We started conversing and became friends. He showed me masternoding. He showed me staking. I was at his home. I saw he's kind of, you know, the movie Die Hard, when there's the hacker guy underground with all the screens and computers. He's this kind of guy. He showed me his base, basically, and I got quickly intrigued. And so we started masternoding. Also, I also started privately masternoding. And a couple of months later, we decided to build this offer together, this offering.
Yeah, interesting. So what's your background? Are you quite techie yourself?
I'm more of an affiliate marketer, to be honest. Like I come from the Forex niche. Like we used to run a very big Forex trading bot. It's still kind of famous. It was very famous a couple of years ago. It's called Forex Autopilot Turbo, and it's still in the markets. I'm also running different other offers in the affiliate space, such as a sports handicapping portal, and some a course how to develop your own apps for Android and iPhone and such. So that's basically, I come from affiliate, and I like to work with people that have great ideas. So
yeah,
I'm more like building out the parts around it while Urs is doing the true magic in the company. I'm quite fortunate.
Okay, yeah. And so your education, if you like, is more in the sort of marketing space rather than tech?
Exactly. Marketing, yeah. A little bit of finance through Forex, you know, trading bots, everything that brought me near cryptocurrency.
Yeah. Okay. And did you trade Forex yourself while you were doing all that?
I did. I had moderate success, to be honest. Like for everything, I don't know if you are well aware of the Forex market, but even if you have the danger with trading is that you can trade very well for a couple of months, but due to the leveraged positions that you have, you can lose everything in the blink of an eye because there can be some unforeseen event happening in the world markets. And you can, when you have a leveraged position, lose a lot overnight. So all the profits could go to waste. And this is something that I like in masternoding, that you never have leveraged positions. Like if the market goes down, you can lose, but as long as it recovers at some point, you can still make back what you lost, and you are not in underwater, as traders say. You're not in an underwater position trying desperately to find more funds or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's so true, isn't it? I remember when I first came across your company by chance, really, but I saw a review on YouTube by some English guy, I think it was, and was very impressed by the offering. It was very unusual, and the returns were pretty amazing. I mean, a lot of traders will say they're quite happy with 10% return per month, won't they? And yet you're offering that 10% quite regularly per month. I mean, not every month, but you know, you average out.
Exactly. Yeah, we are always trying to shoot for this 10% while keeping the capital and the notes as stable as possible. But obviously, we are very much influenced by the crypto markets per se. Like if Bitcoin, if Mr. Musk likes to tweet a lot, markets. So if Bitcoin goes down, chances are our coins are also taking a beating. But as said, as long as they're going to come back or stay stable for a while, we can always even out that process to the mastermind, to the generation of coins, because we lead our own ecosystems, because we have more. We're not just taking part like an outsider, but since we influence the projects and we can add liquidity and remove liquidity from it, or releasing news, building the use cases, building the different aspects of the business, we are way more in control. And with that, we can, of course, steer against the tide, so to speak, sometimes.
Yeah. Did you have any qualms recently when we hit a sort of bear market with certainly Bitcoin and, Ethereum also took a hit? I mean, all of the coins were looking a bit bearish during May, and even now they're still hovering, aren't they, between going up and
down? Yeah, quite a lot from the high, because Bitcoin was, I think it reached $64,000 at the height, and it fell as low as 27,000. And this was a lot. I heard from a lot of my trading friends that they got liquidated in their trading positions. And liquidation means even if Bitcoin goes back up, you're out of the market and you will kick yourself later, because tendentially speaking, Bitcoin has always made a new higher high even after low markets. And this is what in masternoding gives us a lot of power, since we go from the point that everything is in a tendentially increasing market, even with the setbacks, we can maneuver around it quite well. But to answer your question, Sapphire compared, we always take Sapphire. Sapphire is our biggest coin, so I like to measure with Sapphire, has held itself pretty well during the downfall, especially against Bitcoin, because the altcoins always trade against Bitcoin. So if we manage to keep the Sapphire value relatively stable and Bitcoin is going to go up back up, it will drag us with it, basically. So we're swimming underneath the whale to new heights, hopefully.
Yeah.
Ideally.
Yeah. What is your outlook for the next 6 months? You know, it seems to vary enormously from punter to punter, you know, whether we're going into a bear market or shooting up even higher than 60,000 the next time around with Bitcoin, or, you know, looking at the other coins, the Ethereum and altcoins. But, well, I mean, obviously that's your business and you believe in it. Do you think it's going to be a while to turn things around, or do you think a turnaround's imminent? We're just going to take a quick break here. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of feeling lost in the world of trading and investing? Get informed and inspired with the Talking Trading podcast. I'm Louise Bedford, and I'll help you navigate the markets like a pro. Tune in each week and subscribe now at talkingtrading.com.au or on your favourite podcast app, or check out the link in the show notes. Talking Trading, this is how traders excel.
I think during the next 6 months, by the end of the 6 months, we might be able to see Bitcoin at around $100,000. And, or at least it's not going to, even if in the short term there could be still a bearish downturn, I still think it's going to recover nicely from here, because by now it's so far out there in the markets and so many companies are adopting Bitcoin. Like there was PayPal, for example, where you can now pay with cryptocurrencies, and there's other companies forming, that, you know, the Pandora's box has been opened and it's been very, very big adoption. Also, all the dollars that are being printed right now, I wouldn't say you cannot thank Corona for anything, but all the inflation that is happening around the world, people are looking for safe havens, and gold is just too unflexible to fill that role. Gold is not divisible. Gold is not transactable as much as Bitcoin is, and we have high hopes. Proof of stake and masternoding is the next evolution after the regular mining too. So technologically speaking, from a tech perspective, we are in a very good position. We have great coders that are also working on our coins to add the smart contract functionality. So we are pretty optimistic. That said, we are always encouraging people to diversify as much as possible, you know, and do not, even if we believe in our product, it's just very, it just makes sense to diversify your assets a little bit all across the space.
Yeah.
You know, to keep yourself in a financially sound position.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you still trade yourself these days, or are you just focused on this?
I have to be completely transparent, since I think this is a good point to make. I have about 25% of my liquid assets in masternoding. 25% I keep in Bitcoin, because I just believe, you know, it's the one true original. Ethereum has great promise, so 25% of my portfolio is also there. And the rest, I'm in all kinds of coins, in DeFi projects that are also looking very promising. You know, you can stake in stable coins and make a decent return. You can even stake in euro now on some finance portals. I'm not trading Forex anymore. On Forex, I'm out of the picture there, because I made a lot of money. I lost a lot of money. I think I'm more or less break even on that. And I do not know in my friend circle anyone who's really profitable over more than 5 years. Like, I had one guy, a close friend, that was 5 years. And then after that, lost everything, because the danger is just too big. You know, you start losing a little bit, you feel the need to double down, you double down some more, and suddenly your position is blown out.
Yeah.
But, yes. You know,
it's very difficult, isn't it?
Maybe it's not my cup of tea, but maybe if someone of your listeners is a great Forex trader, by all means, reach out, show me the history, and I'd like to improve otherwise.
Yeah. No, it's very difficult. And of course, the Forex markets, they change as well. You know, I mean, I imagine you said you were working on a robot, and I imagine the robot had to be tweaked, if you like, every now and then because of certain changes in the way the currencies are moving. Has the robot still got a purpose, or has it become redundant now, owing to changes in the market?
It's ups and downs. And the problem, even with the robot methodology, with the tech, every broker that you place this plugin to is reacting differently. There's so many parameters that you cannot really understand, because in some, for example, with some brokers, it can make a plus, while at the same time, and another broker is a minus is produced. There's slippage. There's parameters that are not correctly understood by the engine. Different things. And sometimes you're just wondering, because you're like, but it made profit here, why is it not making profit there? And even the programmers don't know sometimes. So it's a really, really hard thing to see, because the spreads are also different. There's different, you know, I'm kind of at this point a little bit clueless myself on how it really works in practice.
Getting back to yield nodes itself, how many are you in the team?
We started out as a, which we like to call the core team. We were four people. It's me, Urs. We are business partners, and we both have brought our guys, so to speak, from past projects into the mix. On my side, there was Yigo, the coder, who coded everything yield node space, the members area, the payments, the affiliate program. And on Urs' side, he has an assistant. His name is Dima, who is living very close by, and is supervising and helping him set up all the nodes, because by now it's a gargantuan undertaking. We have several thousand servers to monitor, so more and more people joined. Then the moment when we started going into Sapphire, we hired a great programming team from Portugal under the head head programmer, which name is Pedro. So we are having a company there. Then for all the coins, we hired positive and very excited people from the community that are leading those projects, because we needed to span out. We needed to give a little bit of, you know, of the responsibility to the communities so that these projects can thrive and can build, can get built by themselves. And so all in all, I think we are at about 50 people now that are working in some form or shape at Yield Nodes or more at the so-called Decenomy project, like decentralized economy, where Yield Nodes is part of. It's a work in progress, Nicolas. It's really changing and transforming every day. We started out as purely masternoding. Now we have a lot of subsites, a lot of projects, an exchange. All the income flows into Yield Nodes. And so we keep evolving step by step. We have now made the company in Malta, the Decenomy, the PLC, from where we start organizing the daughter companies. We're looking for regulation now because we are an unregulated company. But going forward, it makes sense to become regulated and supervised. We're looking for that in either Switzerland or Singapore. And it's a lot of work.
Yeah, sounds like it. But exciting, it's growing a company like that. Yeah. And you're based in Italy, aren't you? Northern Italy.
I'm in Italy, but the company right now is in Hong Kong. It's registered in Hong Kong.
Okay. Yeah. And are you physically, that's geographically close to some of your team members?
Yes, I'm close to Portugal. So I was there. We had several meetings, but we plan also to see each other much more often thanks to, the disappearance,
the lifting of
all the bans. We can fly more. I'm going to fly to Malta next month to meet Urs. We have there our offices that are being staffed and manned as we speak. So I'm going to meet with Yigo, with Urs, with Dima. We're all meeting next month there. We're meeting with the lawyers and with different people on the team. So it's forming. It's always forming, It's going not as fast as we would like. It's progressing, but it's progressing.
Yeah, that's the main thing, isn't it? Yeah. Perhaps last question for people listening. What's the process if they were wanting to give it a go, seeing if they can make some money from investing in Yield Nodes? What's the process and how often do they see their returns? When can they withdraw, et cetera?
Okay, so we are aiming to make between 5% and 15%. We had a great month a couple of months ago, which was the highest that we had, was 19.2%. So we can now say between 5 and 19.2% historically. So what they need to do is they would need to be able to exchange their capital to Bitcoins. We have a lot of support in Yield Nodes for that. Like, we employ third-party processors that unfortunately have their fees, but allow people to exchange quite swiftly. So they can use a debit card, a bank wire, or, what is the third one? Bank wire, debit card, or a regular credit card to fund their account. It takes a little while. There's a few AML regulations that slow it down. So they need a little bit of patience. But these payment processors exchange the funds to Bitcoin, and this is then where we step in, and we can do our thing as soon as we get the Bitcoin. There's a 7-day grace period where we use the funds to exchange to the altcoins, such as Sapphire or the other coins that we have, to start the masternoding process, because it's kind of, there's a certain physicality behind it, because you need to set up the server, lock in the coins, make it part of the network. So that's what the 7 days are for, to actually start the process. And then basically there's nothing more to do actively on the investor part. Every month, every week, they see the returns. There's a weekly update in the members area. And every first of the next month, the balance is changed and the gains are being reflected on the account. They can then ask for withdrawal to any Bitcoin number they like. We only process in Bitcoin, again, because it's simpler for us to focus on our core business instead of starting to exchange, work with bank accounts. it's another can of worms that we just don't want to open for, you know, to focus on generating the money and preserving what we have. So to really focus on the core competency. And yes, that's it.
Yeah. So all they need to have is some account like Coinbase or Binance or one of those, and you transfer to
Basically, any account that has Bitcoin on it allows them to send Bitcoin to another Bitcoin address will work. Also, on the other hand, when they request a withdrawal, all they need to supply is a Bitcoin address, and the money is being sent there on the withdrawal day, on the 8th always of the next month, punctually every 8th of the month.
Yeah. And there's a minimum initial deposit, isn't there? It's 500 euros, right?
500 euros is the minimum deposit, yes.
Anyone interested in giving it a go with Yield Notes, there's my link in the show notes, and you can open an account with just a 50 euros, initial deposit. Yeah. So you could give it a go. Minimum risk. Yeah.
Exactly.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Steve. Thanks for talking to me.
Yes, Kelly. Thank you for your time, Nicholas.
Sure.
Take care, okay?
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Steve Herman. As mentioned in the closing minute or two, if you want to dip your toe into the Yield Nodes pool, you can start with as little as 50 euros if you sign up using the link in the show notes. I hope you found this episode of interest, and thanks for listening.